Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco high atop the Tower of Hope here in beautiful Christ Cathedral, and we have two incredible people with us. The most incredible person I've ever met is this individual next to me called my wife, Marianne Greco. Welcome back, Marianne.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
And we're days away of celebrating our 46th wedding anniversary.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. I know. You know, it was the preteen marriage, they called it. Just kidding. Just kidding. People do the math in a hurry when you start saying 46. What are you kidding me? And Katie Hughes, welcome back to the show, Katie.
Glad to be here.
And Katie is now working for us as an independent contractor on Spirit-Filled Hearts. And how's that going, Katie?
It's going great. Thanks, boss.
Well, our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts, is expanding. Come take a look at spiritfilledhearts.org. Lots going on. Great trips, pilgrimages coming up. Lots of Life in the Spirit seminars. And, of course, we've got our new book out, Expecting Experience Miracles, that you can get on Amazon. And you can get it on right now. We have a store, right?
Yes, a ministry store.
Ministry store.
On our website.
Well, we have all of Deacon Steve's CDs available for purchase. And we have all of our books for purchase and T-shirts.
Hallelujah. So we do have this major event that sneaks up on us called December 25th. And all of these things will make fantastic gifts for your friends and family and so forth, the books, the CDs, the T-shirts. And so please support us, but support the Lord by really spreading the word of God. That's the most important thing.
Amen.
And part of the spreading the word of God is spreading the love of the Father, the love of Jesus, the love of the Holy Spirit. The title of the show is The Love of the Father. As we really meditate during this Advent season of coming, the coming of Jesus again, the second coming, the coming of Jesus at Christmas, the being in communion with him, it's so important that we understand how much God loves us. When we understand how much God loves us, our life is transformed.
It certainly is. I think so many people don't understand that, and it's hard for us to comprehend because our earthly love isn't anything compared to God's love for us. It's such a gift.
My brothers and sisters, God loves us passionately.
Amen.
He loves you passionately, and he loves you unconditionally. Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Stop condemning yourself. During this holiday season, especially as we get close to Christmas, it's a difficult time for many people. You start thinking about all the things that didn't happen, the problems with relatives or friends, the relationship issues that you have, maybe things you've done in the past that you regret. Do not condemn yourself because Jesus doesn't condemn you. Jesus fills you with his love, fills you with his Holy Spirit. And when you have that love, you know God. It says in 1 John 4:8, for God is love. John 14:23 talks about whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, will come to him and make our dwelling with him. When you say yes to Jesus, yes to his love, he is within you, making a dwelling within you.
You know, one of the things I like to think about is, you know, if you're a parent, when you have a child, you look at that little child when it's first born, and you don't look at the child and say, oh, all the things it's he or she is not going to do in their life. But you look at the child and say, the potential of this child, what this child represents and how much I love this child. Well, that's the way the Father looks at us. He doesn't look at us and say, oh, he didn't, or she didn't do this and she didn't do that. But he looks at us with all his love and the potential he's created us for. And he sees us in ways that we don't even see ourselves.
And if we take a look at Scripture again, we really take a look at Isaiah 43:4. Because you are precious in my eyes, I love you.
Amen.
And we're precious in his eyes because he created us from the dawn of time. In the first part of Jeremiah 1, it talks about, before you were formed, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
You see, my brothers and sisters, is that God has a plan, and that plan is loving us for all of eternity.
I love thinking about that because it's as if God took a moment for each one of us, or he doesn't really do time, but you can think in our mind, took a moment and created who we were going to be, what his plan was, what we'd look like, every hair on our head he chose for us, everything, our essence, our soul, our purpose in life, the warrior in Christ we would be. And from the dawn of time, he made those decisions out of his mercy, out of his love. It's overwhelming.
Now, as a gift to yourself during this Advent season, as a gift to yourself, pick up that word of God, Jesus, the word made flesh. Take a look at Ephesians 1. Open it up right now on your smartphone or your Bible, or just remember to look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Think about how much you love those closest to you, your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your friends, those that mean so much to you. Would you not want to give them every spiritual blessing? What does that mean to you, Marianne, that God has given you every spiritual blessing in the heaven?
It opens up a lot. He wants the best for us. He wants the very best for us, and he can't help but love us, and he never stops loving us. So he's continually there. He kind of has our back in a way that he's there loving us and wanting the best for us. We have to only turn to him and surrender and learn what that is for us in our lives so that we can really feel the full potential. But his love never stops.
So much love that we can't even comprehend it. As we continue on in Ephesians 1, it says, we're chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish. To be holy and without blemish means that we have been set apart.
Yes, because of the love of Jesus, because we are baptized in Christ at our baptism, there we received that we are a child of God. He has adopted us as his children, and we have a home, and we have an identity in him. And that's who we are. We share in his divinity. And when you actually pray on that and let the Lord share with you his love for you in that relationship, it changes. Like, nothing else matters, no matter what's happening. No matter what failures, what sin you did in the past, that's not your identity. Your identity is in Christ Jesus.
As we look at Ephesians 5, as Katie was saying, he destined us for adoption to himself through Christ Jesus, according with the favor of his will. And she also was making a reference to baptism in Romans 6:4. It says, we were indeed buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God, we too might live in newness of life. John 10:10 says, I've come to give you life and life abundantly, abundantly. As we look again in Isaiah 43:4, as I mentioned, we're precious in his eyes. Before the dawn of time, he created us to be holy and to be his adopted sons and daughters.
I just think it really gives me great confidence to know that the God, the creator of heaven and earth, has loved me and loves me so much. It's just such a great feeling, and we need to remember that continually, because as Katie said, when you believe that, nothing else matters. You can go through the difficult times because God loves you. That's what's important.
And he has counted every hair on our head.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows us totally. And he loves us totally. My brothers and sisters, this is very, very important. He died and rose again so that we may have eternal salvation. John 3:16. He died and rose again that we may have this life and life abundantly. John 10:10. So when you get to heaven and he has wiped clean all of your sins, this is a very, very important thing. Very, very important for all of you to remember this. He has forgotten your sins. You're now in heaven. You're face to face with Jesus. Don't remind him. Don't remind him. He's already forgotten it.
And we spend a great deal of time reminding ourselves, don't we? And yet we need to, when we've asked forgiveness, to let go of it and learn to look at ourselves a little with more love.
God loves us passionately and completely. When we come right back from the break, we're talking about the seven gifts that the love of the Father's love, has given us. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Praise the Lord.
We can't accept this colored priest.
But the Catholic Church deplores double slavery, that of the mind and that of the body.
We want no Tolsons in this place.
I shall work at it and pull at it as long as God gives me life.
Get out of Quincy. Go elsewhere. Get.
May I never give up.
Learn more at TolsonDrama.com.
See Tolson at Christ Cathedral's Free Theater, January 26th through 28th. For info, go to ccdramaseries.com.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral with two wonderful people who are leaders and two people that mean so much to me. My wife, Marianne Greco, and Katie Hughes, both of them actively involved in our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. We've talked about how much God passionately loves us. So what are the gifts that this love gives to us? First of all, very, very critical, because it is why we're here. Our purpose is to be with God forever, to know him, to love him, and to serve him. That first gift is a gift of salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. Marianne, it is so critical that people know that God loves them so much that he sent Jesus for them personally.
Right. We have to make it personal. I had a friend who called, and he was very depressed. And he says, I've done something that is just terrible. I didn't know what it was. But after prayer, I said to him, you know, Jesus died for you. There's no sin that he can't forgive. And he loves you no matter what you did. And, you know, I really made it personal. As if you were the last person on earth, or the only person on earth, Jesus would have died for you. We need to know that and make it so personal.
As it says in Romans 8:1 again, there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And verse 18 of chapter 3 for John says, whoever believes in him will not be condemned. And something that a lot of people are not aware of is 1 Timothy 2:4, that God wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit leads us to the truth. And the truth is, God wants you in heaven with him for all of eternity.
I mean, that's where, in creation, that's where we all started, was with God the Father. We are to be reunited with him in him. And he gives us this time on earth to love, to serve him, to bring ourselves and others to heaven. And so we, as Christians, help each other to do that. And there's great hope in that, because that's our purpose. And God gives us what we need. He gave us Jesus. He gave us our adoption through baptism. And our destiny is to be with him. That is our purpose. And he is calling us. He is calling us to understand that he is our future, always.
Amen.
I think one of the things to remember as a parent and a grandparent is that God does love everyone and wants all of his children in heaven with him. And we as parents and grandparents often think that, you know, it's up to us alone to pray them into heaven or whatever, but God wants them with him more than I do. And I have to remember that God's in this challenge with our children sometimes, that he's there, he's loving them, and he wants them to be with him even more than I do.
One of the most impactful stories for me occurred at SCRC, Southern California Renewal Conference, over Labor Day weekend. This was a couple of years ago. A woman had attended one of my talks and said she wanted to talk to me, and she was down from Seattle in the state of Washington, and she was able to track me down and talk with me, and she said, I blew it. She was very active in the church, very active in coming to the conference, very active in obviously her love for God, but she'd committed adultery. And she said, my life is over. God can never forgive me, even though I have broken it off and so forth. And I looked at her and I said, are you going to believe a lie, or are you going to believe in the love of Jesus? See, what it really comes down to, my brothers and sisters, you may think that you're garbage, but you know that God did not make junk. You know that God has made you to be pure and holy, as we said in Ephesians 1, to be spotless, to be filled with grace.
I think if you're someone who's struggling with this, and maybe it's everyone about the situation, that you feel bad about what you've done, you've gone to reconciliation, trust in that God has absolved you through that sacrament. It's an important thing to realize that he has the power to do that. He is God. He has conquered all sin.
Amen, amen, amen. So the first point is, we have this tremendous gift of salvation, which means this tremendous gift of forgiveness, tremendous gift of reconciliation, obviously the Eucharist, to be one with the Lord. The second incredible gift is the Holy Spirit. John 14:26, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will come and bring us to all truth. The Holy Spirit will teach us everything. The Holy Spirit changes our life, in which we become filled with joy, filled with the fruit of the Spirit, as found in Galatians 5:22 and 23. We have this love. We have this joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we have the Holy Spirit, everything changes.
I think, you know, the Holy Spirit is not used as often. God gave us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's there to help us live our lives. He gives us the tools through the Holy Spirit. He leads us. There's just so many gifts that the Holy Spirit has for us to use, and yet we don't turn to him and ask for those gifts. We need to tune into the Holy Spirit, plug in, use that.
One of my favorite stories, and I've said this a lot lately, but it's such a great story because it summarizes exactly where most of us are. I gave a talk on the Holy Spirit, and I actually prayed over children ages 5 to 12 a few years ago at SCRC again over Labor Day weekend. And this little girl, probably around 7, and her mother came up to me. I prayed over her on Saturday. She came up to me on Sunday as I'm walking to give another talk. And the mother said, oh, my daughter could barely sleep. She's so excited. She has a very important question to ask you. And, you know, she was so incredibly bright and full of life, and her eyes were dilated, and she looked at me and she said, Deacon, did I receive the Holy Spirit at baptism? And I said, yeah, that's really good. Awesome. And then she looked at me, and my brothers and sisters, this is one of the most profound questions I've ever heard anyone ever ask. At age 7 years of age, she said, well, now, Deacon, if I got the Holy Spirit at baptism, why is he hiding? Why is he hiding?
Well, I think, you know, that Holy Spirit is a gift that we should be using every day, every second of the day, and yet we don't call on the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's the point. We have to call on the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11, it says, we who know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father in heaven give us the Holy Spirit when we ask for it? Come, Holy Spirit, enkindle in us the fire of your love.
Amen. You know, the Holy Spirit, someone once told me, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman, and he does not intrude on you. And so he waits for your asking to come into your life, to change your life, to transform you, to guide you, to help you on your path to your destiny in Christ Jesus as a child of God. The Holy Spirit is the one who is actively living in you and helping you to be Christ.
You look at Matthew 4, and the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert, was led by the Spirit, 4:1, into the desert to be tempted. Okay, but the Holy Spirit gives you that strength to endure the temptation. The Holy Spirit, as it says in Acts 1:8, empowers us, gives us power, translated as dynamite, to be the witnesses of Jesus Christ throughout the world.
And I don't think it's just, the Holy Spirit isn't for a special occasion or a special event, but we need to rise up in the morning and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us and be with us as we go throughout the day. You know, ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our decision making, to be part of every aspect of our life. It's so important to realize that it's there for us minute by minute.
To be his witnesses again in Acts 1:8, Mark 16 says we are to go in the whole world, proclaim the gospel to every creature. We can't do that without the Holy Spirit. It then goes on and talks about signs accompanying the Holy Spirit, accompanying us, that drive out demons, speak new languages, pick up any deadly thing or drink anything, and it will not harm them. Lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, is normal Christianity.
The exciting thing, getting back to our Father and his love, part of his plan, and it came to fruition, was to give us the Holy Spirit. It was his promise. It's in Acts chapter 2, I believe. And Peter, after he becomes bold because now he has the Holy Spirit, and he tells him about this Holy Spirit and how it was the promise of our Father from the early Israelites that we read about in the Old Testament. It was the promise that the Holy Spirit would come into our life and that Jesus had to leave, and as a gift was to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can live out our baptism.
Amen, amen. To be priest, prophet, and king. During this Advent season, pray, come Holy Spirit, enkindle in me the fire of your love. Come Holy Spirit and transform me. Let the Holy Spirit be released in your life. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the love of the Father and how he loves us passionately and the gifts of that love. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Be right back. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. And we are on Empowered by the Spirit, talking about the love of the Father, how much he loves us passionately. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross and be risen so that we may have eternal salvation. He's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's given us his love passionately. And he is with us always, which is the third point. That nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we see this in Romans 8:35 and following, that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor present things nor future things nor powers nor height nor depth or any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's interesting. I gave a talk last night to a group and I asked them, Does your sinfulness separate you from the love of God? And all of them nodded their head and said, yeah, I don't get the love of God when I sin. And what's your answer to that, Katie?
Well, God's love is consistent. No matter what we do, he loves us just the same. We do, in sin, we do have damage to the relationship, and that's when we go to reconciliation. But during that time, his love is as powerful and wonderful as ever. It is consistent.
Marianne, this is definitely the umbrella story, because it really summarizes God's love and when we sin, what we do, in a sense.
Well, my umbrella story, I said I wanted to feel God's love, God's blessing in prayer. And he spoke to me and he said, it's my love or blessings are like raindrops. They're continually coming down. But you, Marianne, are putting up your umbrella and trying to avoid getting wet. And he says, you know, you need to put down your umbrella and let the rain soak into you. In fact, turn your umbrella upside down and collect them. And so, you know, I think about life is messy sometimes. We can get involved in things and we think that God's love isn't there. But even in the difficult times, God's love is pouring down on us. And we have to let it pour down on us and embrace the situation and God's love.
And how does that relate to sin?
How does it relate? Well, I think what Katie said is that God loves us no matter what we're doing. He's not, I always think of that song, Jesus Loves Me. He loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. Jesus loves me when I'm bad, though it makes him very sad. You know, he still loves me. And so we have to realize that there's nothing that can separate. His love is there. He chooses to love us the whole time.
So what's important to understand, my brothers and sisters, is that when we sin, which means that we move away from God to choose our own way and not God's way, to choose doing things that certainly harm us, when that happens, it's like turning our back to God. What that happens, and the reason I went to the umbrella story, is we block the blessing.
Mm-hmm.
We block the grace.
Mm-hmm.
So when we sin, it does make him sad, but the most important thing, that's certainly very important, but it's incredibly important to understand one of the major reasons that God is sad, at least in my opinion, is because we have chosen to block the grace that and the gifts that he wants to give us. And when you love someone, think about this, those that are parents, grandparents, or even those that, certainly have significant others or everyone has someone that they love in their life. Think about what happens when that person that you love chooses things that are harmful for them.
When we love someone, we want to be with them all the time, and God wants to be with us all the time. And it is like a parent. When we as a parent, we love our children, but there are times that our children turn away from us and don't show that love, but we still love them. That's the closest I think we can come to understand.
The fourth point is that we receive strength from God, from our Father, from Jesus, from his love. We see this in Philippians 4:13, where we are told, I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. We receive that strength. And believe me, and I know you do because you experience it, when you're down and out, when you have things and the slings and arrows of life come against you or the enemy come against you and you feel all alone and you feel broken and you say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this situation. It could be a health situation, relationship, financial, job, whatever it might be. Knowing the fact that God is in your corner is what is so important. We go through these tough times, but Jesus is there giving us support, love, and strength.
God our Father loved us so much, and just like thinking about the Israelites and how they just couldn't get the job done. And God said, I have to send my son. I have to send my beloved. I have to send him to sacrifice him to show them how much I love them. And he will reconcile the relationship. They will have this love, this abundant love. And just focusing on that gives great comfort, because there's no greater love than that. Our Father loves us so much.
You know, I like to think of when I'm in difficult situations, and I'll often say a prayer, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I'll express my feelings. I feel awful or this and that. But I know that you love me, and I know that you're here with me. It gives me such great strength and hope to know that he's not abandoned me, but he's there. And somehow, by the grace of God, I will get through the situation.
And think about when we found out that our daughter had, at the time, stage 3A lung cancer. But when we found out that she had cancer, you know, it was almost like the whole world was crashing in on us. But we drew upon the strength of God. We drew upon the fact that we know that God loves our daughter Laura more than we could ever comprehend.
And I still draw on it today, because she has progressed in her cancer. But to know that, you know, and I often say that to him, I don't know how this is going to work out. It may be very difficult times ahead, but Lord, you love me, you love my daughter, and I trust in you.
And that trust is what's so important.
Trust in the sacraments, in this life and in the struggles to be an ambassador for Christ. We need that strength, and to draw upon our sacraments. And the Eucharist, the presence of Jesus within us, empowers us, gives us that strength. We are part of this beautiful faith, and we must take advantage of it. And because we live a daily life, and he gave us his daily bread, he means it for every day to take it and receive it. And then to continue on with the sacrament of reconciliation, that's strengthening. Every time you go into reconciliation, your sins are wiped away, and Jesus, he restores you and connects you back to the Father. He is the one that brings the strength, his love, through reconciliation.
My brothers and sisters, during this Advent season, ask yourself, how can I draw closer to Jesus? How can I be transformed? Going to daily Mass is a prerequisite of that transformation. To receive the body and blood of Jesus, to be one with him. When we do that, we have the strength, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the love of Jesus, the love of the Father, to endure the trials that we have. When we see and pray the Our Father, give us this day our daily bread, it is not a coincidence that those words were used. Yes, you could say we need to have the bread, for the physical bread for nourishment, but is the spiritual bread, that Jesus, the bread of life, that is so important to give us that strength to endure the trials. When we go to Mass on a frequent basis and try every day, if at all possible, we are given the strength to endure the trials of life, challenges on the job, challenges as it relates to relationships, challenges as it relates to physical sickness or whatever it might be, mental illness, depression, whatever it might be, we are given the strength to endure no matter what.
He loves us so much. He gave us the gift of the sacraments. And I think we often forget that it's such a gift.
Well, we put it as something that is optional. We maybe were drilled in to go to Mass on Sundays, but really only 16% go to Mass routinely as it is.
I just had a short testimony to share. There is a special Mass that happens that's the Underground Mass. And it's a priest, Father Dewey. And he started this because he realized at Easter time, the young people they looked like they were half dead, like they didn't understand the celebration of Easter and the Eucharist. And so he started underground mass. And one of the things that he shared during his homily was the early Christians, they would head into mass and into the underground mass, and the Roman soldiers would be outside, and the Roman soldiers would take them after receiving the Eucharist and would be taken to prison to be executed. We need to realize the strength that that Eucharist gave them to face death, to face martyrdom. That is so powerful. We have to realize that.
This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about how much the Father loves you. We'll be right back. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope. We're back here on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about how much God loves us through the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of being with us totally and completely, that nothing will separate us from the love of God. The gift of strength, that strength that will be there to support us. And point number five, we have the gift that God makes all things into good. In Romans 8:28, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always in all circumstances, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So the point is the fact that no matter what's happening, God turns it into good, makes lemonade out of lemons. I was fired from a job, and how could that possibly be good? Don't know, but I found out, because I was in New Jersey, I got back to California, and I was offered the opportunity to enter into formation, or at least enter into the request for formation to the diaconate, which led to being a deacon. Never would have happened had I stayed on the East Coast.
You know, Romans 8:28 is my favorite verse, and I always turn to the Lord when things get difficult or I don't understand them. And I just say, boy, I don't know how this is going to work out for your good, Lord, but I'm anxious to see how it plays out. And, you know, then I start looking for how is he going to play this out? How is the good coming out of this? And it helps train your eyes to even look for the good in a difficult situation, to know that God is there and he's going to show himself through the difficult times.
I have to share a short testimony of the power of God's love in turning things to good. And it's not my testimony. I was listening to one, and it was about a man who was in the Middle East and was a Christian evangelist. And so many people were converting to the faith that ISIS put a hit on his head, and there was a price on his head. They had sent someone, I believe it was from like Syria, specifically to kill him, and he knew about it. He kept living his life, and God kept telling him to stay the course. And he said to the man, I decide when you die. Do not live in fear. And he said, stay the course. Well, it came to the point where the assassin was chasing the man. And the man being chased is hearing the Lord saying, I am your God. I will decide when you die, and it's not now. And the man who was being chased turned around and faced his assassin and started evangelizing him. And then he said, what do you want? And the man said, the assassin said to him, I want to know your Savior. I mean, that was just incredible. Just God turning something horribly going wrong. Your life is on the line. You're about to be martyred. And wow, it changed my life, because it's so powerful how God can turn anything into good. Anything. You just have to trust and ask for that faith to trust in him.
Hallelujah. That faith happened to me when I got this flat tire. No one wants a flat tire. And I just, I was grumbling. How, you know, Lord, you said all things work for good. I mean, how could this be good? I have a flat tire, the expense of it, the waiting, everything else. And I went to a local gas station and I was sitting grumbling, but then praying, and I felt God's presence and God saying, I allowed this flat tire to happen so that you could talk to the garage manager and to tell him how much I love him and that I want him to return to me. So I said, oh, I really have to do this, you know. So I come walking and come up to the garage manager who's working on the tire. And I said, hi, you know, I'm deacon at the local Catholic church. You wouldn't happen to be Catholic, would you? He goes, yeah, I'm Catholic. I go, wow, okay, great. We're cooking here. And he said, but I haven't been to church in 30 years. You see, the love of the Father allowed the flat tire to happen so that I could tell him this special message. And I said, I was praying and I was sitting over there and God told me this message to tell you, come back to me, return to me, for I love you. I have forgiven you. Forgive yourself. And I could see the tears kind of well up in his eyes. And he said he'd been having dreams about coming back to church. And this was a confirmation. So praise the Lord.
I think, you know, God allows these things. But it's this daily life that we know that we can use. God's love is there in every second of our life and that we can turn to him and kind of use situations that maybe not fun or very difficult and start to look at it a different way. How are you going to work today, God? You know, and it becomes kind of an adventure with the Lord. Everywhere you go.
And again, that gets back to the Thessalonians scripture that give thanks for all circumstances, in all circumstances, rather, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So it not necessarily for all circumstances, but in all circumstances, because he gives grace when something happens that maybe isn't what you want, but something good comes out of it. You get greater love. You get greater connectiveness. You know I'm closer to my daughter than I've ever been. And she has this lung cancer. But, you know, we believe.
We need to just start looking for it.
Sometimes it's really difficult when you're in the midst of your trial. And all you see is the trial. And just try and ask God. Turn to him and say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. He needs you to surrender to him so that the door is opened, so that the love can flow in, so that the reassurance is there, that his love is ever present. You must turn to him. Ask for that faith. Ask for that love. Ask for the strength and draw upon him. He is your strength. Nothing you can do that is good unless he is the center of it. So just turn to him in those horrible situations out there. I can only imagine. Just turn to him. When you have nothing else, you have your Father.
And we realize this through the love of the Father, that he gives us strength. He gives us purpose. He makes all things work into good. He is with us every step of the way. He gives us the Holy Spirit. Point number six is that we receive a mansion in heaven. We can look forward to that. John 14:2, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you I'm going to prepare a place for you? What is your mansion? You can look forward to heaven. 1 Corinthians 2:9, what eye has not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for them who love him. That passion, that love, God loves us so passionately. And finally, God gives us through his love the gift of faith. That gift of faith that when we ask for it, we receive it, as it says in Luke 11. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please God, for anyone who approaches God must believe he exists, and he rewards those who seek him. When we have faith, everything changes.
And we have to ask for it. Sometimes we're not is strong and ask for that gift of faith, and he'll give that to you, and you'll be able to see things. Ask to be able to see things through the Lord's eyes, not your eyes, the earthly eyes, but see them as God sees them and see where God is working in your life, even though it may look difficult.
My brothers and sisters, God wants us to have this life of joy, this life of love. In John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. During this Advent season, say, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Take over my life.
Jesus.
Take over everything I have in my life. I surrender to you my heart, my soul. I surrender my challenges, my difficulties. I surrender my body, my health. I surrender my relationships, my marriage, my children, my friends. I surrender everything to you. And when we say yes to that love, yes to that surrender, when we say, yes, Lord, I want to be one with you, God honors that and takes over our lives. These gifts are showering upon us. Jesus died and rose again so that we may have eternal salvation. We are given the power of the Holy Spirit. We're given God's love. We're given strength to endure trials. We're given all of these blessings. I want to thank both of you again for being on the show.
That's
and have
such a blessing.
Wonderful Advent and Christmas season coming up. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We praise you for the season of Advent. We praise you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We praise you for your gift of love that is unconditional, that is consistent, that nothing will separate us from that love. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us. We say this through the power of your love, the power of your Holy Spirit, through the intercession of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. We thank you for healing us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically, through the power of your love, in Jesus' name. And I bless you in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Spirit. Come back again, same time next week. God bless you all.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.